Morning, church. Okay, now this morning I will be sharing to you a very wonderful story, no? Now, some say that this is the greatest story ever told. And this story is no ordinary story because it was told by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So in reverence to God's word, let's read the story of Jesus together. Let's all stand as we read Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24. Luke 15, 11 to 24, Jesus says here, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to celebrate." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that we can gather in Jesus' name. We pray, O God, that you'll be the one, Lord, to allow your word to be delivered and be preached with clarity and anointing, Lord. We humbly ask, Holy Spirit, that you move in our midst, Lord, that you'll be the one to minister to each and every heart. Lord, we pray, O God, that your presence would just accompany us through and through, Lord. Lord, may you anoint my lips of clay, hide me behind the cross, and Lord, just use me, Lord, as your mouthpiece this morning. So we give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Okay. So Jesus' story goes that there was a man who had two sons, right? And Jesus said the younger son went to his father and asked for his inheritance while his father was still alive. Now, friends, during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, this was one of the most embarrassing, most disgusting, most hurtful, and most insulting thing a son can ever do to a father. He's just like saying, "Pa, give me all the good things you can give me. I want your properties, I want your wealth, I want your money, I want everything you can do for me. But I don't want you. I just want the things you can do for me. I just want the things you can give me. But Pa, I don't want you." So again, friends, during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, this was one of the most hurtful things a son can ever do to a father. So we see here a very selfish, ungrateful, and very rebellious son. But how many of you know that this story is not just the story of this rebellious son, but this story is also the story of my life and the story of all your lives? And by that, how many times have you ever come before God and asked God for countless favors? No, "Lord, please do this for me. Lord, please do that for me. Lord, please protect me. Lord, please bless me," etc., etc. Now, your mouth may not say it, but the way you live your life, just like the rebellious son in our story, it's just like you're telling God, "What, God, please do this for me. God, bless me with this, bless me with that. But Lord, I will take you seriously later. Or Lord, just bless me with this, bless me with that. But Lord, in this particular area in my life, you are off limits. I don't want to have anything to do with you, Lord." Again, Your mouth may not say it, but how many of you know action speaks louder than words? So again, this story is not just a story about the son. This is the story of my life, and this is the story of all your lives as well. Now, we go back to the story of our Lord Jesus. He says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there, he squandered his inheritance in reckless living. Now, from this verse, we can see that this rebellious son decided to move far away from his father. And he began to live recklessly. He was engaged in every type of immorality. So he distanced himself from the father and began to, you know, do wild living. Whatever he saw pleasurable to him, he did it, no? Without thinking of any consequences. He engaged in immoral living. Now, maybe this rebellious son was thinking, if I remain in my father's house, I wouldn't be able to do these things. That's why he decided to leave. Now, this decision to leave his father speaks a lot about his rebellious character. He loved immoral living more than he loved his father. He loved sinning more than he loved his father. In fact, he loved sinning so much that he didn't mind losing his relationship with his father just so he could have the time of his life, just so he could do the things that he wants to do. Now, friends, let me tell you, this particular verse actually gives us a very clear picture of what sin really is. No? Sala ba? Sin. Now, our sins, whether mortal sin or venial sin, it doesn't matter. Sin creates a very big gap between us and God. Sin takes us far, far, far away from God. Sin brings us far away from God. Now, you must understand that the God of the Bible, the God whom we worship, is the holy God. Now again, when the angels worship God in heaven, they don't address him as the forgiving, forgiving, forgiving God. Although we know that God is very forgiving. They don't address him as the loving, loving, loving God. Although we know that God is very loving. Now when the angels in heaven worship God, they address him as the holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts. Meaning to say, on top of God's attribute, it is his holiness that stands out. So friends, sinful life, sinful lifestyle, the sins we do in our lives, they can never go hand in hand with the holy God. And just like this rebellious son in our story, sin brings us far away from God. It creates a very big distance between the sinful man and the holy God. Now back in the days, while I was still in high school, I think I was in high school. Medyo religyoso na mayuko before. And I know I was not, quote-unquote, a good boy. From every now and then, I go to a priest and confess my sins. Now, there was one time I confessed my sin to a priest. Then he told me, Dong, sakto ra gyud that you confess your sin. You know why? This is what he told me. Venial sin, mortal sin, it doesn't matter. Do you know that just one dot of sin in your life can separate you away from God for the rest of eternity? One single sin in your life is enough to send you to hell. And friends, I couldn't agree more. Because when I began to read my Bible and study the scripture, that's what the Word of God tells us. It doesn't matter if you do a billion good works every day. No good works can ever repay the sin that you've committed. Even if you do a billion good works every single day, it doesn't change the fact that you have sinned. Now, friends, the sad reality is this. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. He says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Everyone, no one exempted. And those who commit sin, though, is a slave to sin. Now, I believe all of us here have committed a sin in one way or another, right? And the Lord Jesus says, if you have committed a sin, you're a slave to sin. Now, that's why it's very difficult, not to break free from sinful habits. Because what's what Jesus said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. That's why people who are into pornography, it's so hard for them to resist porn Because why? They are slave to that sin. They are slave to pornography. People who are into drunkenness, people who are into drugs, people who are into chismis, o libakiro, libakira, it's so hard for them to avoid that. Why? Because they are enslaved to that sin. Now friends, should I boast? I boast in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now as I speak in front of you tonight, this morning, I speak to you as a pastor. I speak to you as a businessman. I speak to you as a man happily married to my college crush with two beautiful kids. In other words, I'm living an abundant life right now. It's all because of the grace of Jesus. But friends, it wasn't always like this. Because some 20 plus years ago, I was a 16-year-old drug pusher. At 16 years old, I was selling drugs. At only 15 years old, I was already a hardcore drug addict. And at 16, I was peddling drugs. Now you see, I was raised up in a very loving family. And being the youngest, I enjoyed the perk of being everyone's favorite, no? No, my brother, I was his favorite before, no? And I think he just refuses to admit, but I'm still his favorite now, favorite sibling. No? I mean, being the youngest, I enjoyed the perks, no, of being everyone's favorite. Now, my two elder siblings, my brother and my sister, they are passionate Christians. Sayon is saved. In fact, you can see my brother jumping up and down here in front every Sunday. No, they're really on fire for Jesus. And our gap is somewhat taas-taas ba? I think 10 years apart me or 9 years apart. So while I was young, both of them see to it that I attend VBS, the thing that we do during summer. And also Sunday school. So every now and then, both of them brings me to church. So somehow, in my formative years, while I was still very young, I was immersed into the Christian faith. So I was still young, naanak ko yung background about Christianity. But you know what? Just like the rebellious son in our story, I thought that I could be happier elsewhere. I thought that if I can do other things, you know, it will bring more satisfaction to me. So friends, in my second year high school, or grade 8 in today's standard, that was the time I started to experiment with marijuana. And not long after that, I started to use shabu. No? And I was so deceived. No, thinking that I was in control of my vices. I really thought, my lucky kay ko ba? I thought that I could manage it. But you know what? True to what the Lord Jesus said, everyone who sin is a slave to sin. So it didn't take long for me at all to become hooked on drugs. At an early age of 15 years old, I was a full-blown drug addict. Now, it didn't take long for my addiction to completely transform my personality. I became very violent and I became very proud. Now, according to my sister, in her own words, para niya, I became like a monster ko, no? And because of my addiction, I totally became a different man. Lying and cheating became very normal for me. No, I steal at every opportunity I get. No, I swindle people out of their money. And because of drugs, I also became very, very violent. Now, back then, when my classmates, they made sure that they bring their notebooks and books to school, I made sure that I bring a gun, I bring a knife, or I bring whatever weapon I can carry with me. Because I was so proud and I became so violent. Now, today, I praise God that I'm surrounded with beautiful people like you. But back then, at 16 years old, I was in the company of thieves. I was in the company of murderers, of convicts. I was in the company of criminals. And I did a lot of crazy things before, thinking that these things would bring me happiness. I was also into casino gambling. I was in a relationship with different, you know, immoral relationship with different women, thinking that these things would bring me happiness. Drunkenness, you name it. But you know what, guys? These things I've done, in reality, they only added up to more emptiness in me. They only added up to more frustrations in my life. Now, I was so deceived into thinking that these things can bring satisfaction. But in reality, they only drag me down. Now, moving on to the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was the time after the prodigal son spent his inheritance in reckless living, in immoral living. Now, Jesus continues to tell the story here in verse 14. He says, "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, yet no one gave him anything." So the story continues that after this rebellious son squandered the wealth of his father, a famine came into that land. Or in a modern day term, a crisis hit that land. And now, the big problem is, this rebellious son already squandered everything. And he is now in great need. Now, at this time, he has no more money. His friends have deserted him. And most of all, he is now without his loving father. So he has to face this problem all by himself. He has to face this problem, this crisis, all by himself. And mind you, friends, he wasn't able to handle his problem pretty well, right? I mean, we can see him feeding pigs. Now, you can just imagine the shame that he went through when he was feeding pigs. Imagine this. I mean, heredero biya siya. I mean, when he went to that place, he was someone rich, someone high and mighty, but yet now, he's just feeding pigs. Now, when he left his father's house, maybe he never thought that this could happen to him, but yet it happened. So you can just imagine the shame that he was having during that time. And friends, the truth is this. Sin and shame, they always come together. Now, in one way or another, mag-abot yun ng duha. One day, your sin will catch up with you and shame will surely follow. And the truth is this, guys. If you exclude the father, if you exclude God in your life, like this son excluding his father in his life, you know what? Just like this man, you can be successful for a while, but you will never, never go very far. Because just like this young man in our story, someday you will find yourself in situations that's bigger than you. Problems that are way too big for you to handle. And if you are far from the Father, if you are far from God, then you have to face that problem on your own. Now, friends, over the years in the ministry, there are times that I get invited to minister to dying people, minister to them in the hospital. And some of these people, they are atheists. Some of them are, really, people who have achieved great things in business, people who are very proud of themselves, people who think na maing laki kay sila ba. But yet, when I go minister to them in the hospital, if I'm to describe it, I don't know how to say it in English, but sa Bisaya pa, ito'y pa sa tanan, ito'y. No? I don't know how to say that, papi of all papis. No, I mean, so helpless, so hopeless, they couldn't even lift their own hands, their arms without any assistance. But yet, before they're so high and mighty, before they're so kanang, standing tall kayo, but yet as you see them laying down the hospital bed, luoy kayo, wag good time mabuhat. And again, friends, what I'm trying to say is that someday you'll face situations that's bigger than you, problems that are way too big for you to handle. And if you're far from the Father, if you're far from God, you have to face that problem on your own. So friends, never ever be deceived into thinking that it's okay to exclude God in your plans. Because this kind of thinking is a lie straight from hell. It is never okay to exclude God from your plans. It is never okay to exclude God in your lives. And also never be deceived into thinking that you'll only seek God at 12 o'clock because there are many who did make it at 11 o'clock. Friends, Adolf Merkley was a German tycoon. In fact, he's one of the richest person in the world. He's worth billions and billions of dollars. Now, unfortunately, in 2009, because of global recession, he lost some of his personal fortune due to bad investment. And on January 5, 2009, in the morning, he silently put on his coat and told his wife that he's just going to go to the office. But sadly, he never returned home. he committed suicide by jumping into the railway. And the irony is this, guys. At the time of his death, although he lost a lot of fortune, but at the time of his death, he was still worth more than $6 billion. What could have gone wrong? I mean, he was supposed to be a man who has everything. But yet, he jumped in the front of a speeding train. So friends, it is never, ever okay to exclude God in your life. It's not okay to live life being distant from God. Now, back to my story. Because of my drug addiction before, I did not care about anything or care for anyone any longer. All I cared for was drugs, drugs, and more drugs. And because of that, I started to lose my friends. But I couldn't blame them, you know, because if I was around them, only two things can happen. Either I steal from them or borrow money from them. So I started to lose my friends. They start to avoid me. No more ako ganang gi-COVID ba? Where I go, they go separate ways, no? So I started to lose my friends. And eventually, I began to lose my family. Now again, growing up, as I've said, I'm my brother's favorite, no? I'm his baby brother. But at the peak of my addiction, you know what? He told me straight to my eyes. He said, "You're not the person I know. I don't know you anymore." No? He said, I said something worse. Anyway, that's what happened. And you know, my mother during that time, she couldn't feel safe when I'm at home. Basin asa na lang taon niya taguan niyang bag. Basin asa na lang taguan niyang pitaka. And so she said, she told me in Chinese, "Wa umay ko adi bidlo." No? Translation, she said, "I don't want to see your face any longer." Now, we have a saying, a face only a mother can love, right? But that time, even my mom don't want to see my face. Because I become a monster. Now, my father is also very close to me. But because of that, one day my father told me, he said it in Chinese, "You will not receive a single centavo from me." And in Chinese culture, it's just as synonymous as saying, "You don't have any part of me anymore." He even told me, "I can leave the family and go migrate to Canada. You're causing so much problem to our family." Now, church, I was shattered. I was devastated. Now, I felt so hopeless. I was still so young during that time. Now, while my friends, they were gearing up for their future, no, excited guys lang mag-graduate, but there I was. I was a teenage wreck. It was very frustrating. My friends avoided me. I started to lose my family. I made myself to be an outcast. Now, I wanted to stop using drugs. I really do. No? I really wanted to stop it because I know that was the source of all my problems. But no matter how hard I try, I just simply couldn't stop. I was so hooked. I couldn't stop at all. Just true to what the Lord Jesus says. He who commits sin is a slave to sin. I became in bondage to drugs. I was slave to that sin. Now, in fairness to my parents, they did everything in order to try to help me. No, they did their best. In fact, they accompanied me to the States. Para kuno malayo ko sa barkada. But you know what? When I came back home, just 2 weeks or 3 weeks after, there I was again. So wherever I went during the time, my dad has to leave his office and accompany me. Kay bantayan lang gyud ko ba? But the moment malipat na ko siya, there I go again. So all the money they spent, all the effort they spent, they just went down the drain. Now one Sunday morning, while I was still high, I'll never forget this. I was stricken with so much guilt and shame. And the guilt and shame was just so intense for me to bear. I mean, I felt for my dad and mom, no? The trouble I was causing them, the trouble I was bringing to our family. And the grief was just so intense. It was so painful. So that morning, I wanted to hide from my reality. I wanted to have an overdose. I was already very frustrated. I was already very tired. And again, I wanted to hide from my reality. So I was thinking, if I go crazy, at least that's one way for me to hide from my reality. If I go crazy, I, ano ko yun, naon ba? So that particular morning, I was really aiming to have an overdose. I was thinking, if I die, so be it, I die. So I ran away from home that Sunday morning, and I went to consume as much drugs as I can, hoping that I will get an overdose. And from hindsight, friends, I really thank God that it's only through God's divine intervention that I'm still alive today. Because I really had an intention to destroy myself that particular morning. I reached my tipping point. I was very devastated. I hit rock bottom. Now, just like the story of our Lord Jesus Christ about the prodigal son, this prodigal son hit rock bottom. Now, friends, you must understand that growing up, I know about Jesus, but I just know about him. I never really knew him. There was no real relationship. In fact, I was quite religious. Sometimes my brother brings me to Bethany, and sometimes my mom brings me to Redemptorist or Sacred Heart. I was quite religious. But during that time, religion was all I have. I had no real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So during that time, while I already hit rock bottom, I was skin and bones during that time. No, dili ko cute tanaw na to. No? Now, during that time, I will never forget this. I called a taxi. And I was on my way again to the pusher's place. No? Muskore na pud ba? Mukuha na ba kog drugs? And by God's grace, somehow, in desperation, I remembered about God. Diba? As I've said to you, nga, in my early years, my brother and my sister brings me to Sunday school and VBS. And somehow, those things had a flashback in me. Now, while I was in the taxi cab, on the way to get another score, to get another hit, naka-remember ko about ni God, no? Naka-remember ko about ni Lord. Then back then, I prayed my shortest prayer. But it was a very honest prayer. It was a prayer out of desperation. And verbatim, this is what I said to God. Lord, dili na nako kaya, ikaw na'y bahala sa akong kinabuhi. No, I didn't even say in Jesus' name or whatsoever. No, I didn't know how to pray back then. But I just called out to God in desperation. Lord, di nako kaya, ikaw na'y bahala sa akong kinabuhi. You know what, friends, from hindsight, no, looking back, I realized that it was after saying that very short but honest prayer that is where the turning point of my life began. Now, balik sa tasa story ni Jesus, okay? Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 20. Now, this was after the time that the prodigal son hit rock bottom and then he came to his senses. Nakarealize siya ba? This is then what he said. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, friends, let me say this again. Sin has the power to enslave, right? And mind you, sin is a very terrible master. It makes you do things that you don't want to do. No, shameful things that you don't want to do, but sin makes you do it. It makes you go places where you don't want to go. It makes you say things that you don't want to say. But most of all, sin separates you away from God. Sin separates you away from God, who is the author of life, who is the source of all hope, who is the source of all joy. So sin is really, really, really a terrible master. And the only way for you to break free from sin is to repent. In order for you to truly break free from sin, repentance is a must. And you must understand that repentance is not just about saying sorry to God. Repentance is not just about confessing your sins. Repentance is about turning away from your sinful lifestyle and you go near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, just like the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the prodigal son came to his senses, when he realized that in my father's house, they have so many food, but yet here I am, I'm dying of hunger. When he came to his senses, he left that place of sin and he walked back to his father. He refused to remain where he was and he started to walk back to his father. That's what repentance is all about. That you make a decision to abandon your sin and you go back to God. And friends, let me tell you, the beauty of repentance is just so beautiful. Look at verse 20. Now, when the prodigal son was returning to his father, Jesus says here in verse 20, when he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, guys, when the prodigal son returned home, no, you can just imagine how he smelled, diba? He was tending pigs. For all you know it, he smelled like lamaw, no? And you can imagine, unsa to siya kahugaw na. I mean, he could have been very dirty. As he was heading home, walking towards home, when his father saw him, the Bible tells us the father stood up and he ran to his son and embraced his son and kissed his son and welcomed his son home. Now, his father didn't even mind how his son smelled. His father didn't even mind how his son looked like. His father didn't even mind how he was hurt by his son before, how his son insulted him before. His father was just filled of joy that his son returned home. Now, friends, what's true for this prodigal son is true for each and every one of you. The moment you leave your life of sin and you return to God, what's true for the son is true for you. God is ready to embrace you. God is ready to forgive you. God is ready to pardon you. God is ready to welcome you. And there will be no accounting session. Now notice this, friends. When the prodigal son returned to his father, the father just embraced him and loved him and welcomed him home. The father didn't even say, "Bagaan imong nahoy, do you remember how much you hurt me? Do you remember how much you've insulted me?" No. All was forgiven. Everything was pardoned. And what's true for this son is true for each and every one of you. Friends, there is no sin greater than his love. There is no sin bigger than his compassion. The moment you return to God, you are assured of his great love. Now, moving on to what Jesus says, verse 21 to 24. Now, Jesus said, and the son said to him, pagbalik na while the father was embracing him, the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us celebrate, for this is my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and found," and they began to celebrate. Now, when we see here now a very humble and repentant son, no? From an arrogant son, he is now very repentant to his father. When he was there, when he was confessing to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." But you know what, guys? Even before the son could finish what he was saying, the father was just so overjoyed. He just didn't care. He was telling his servants, "Oy, magpista ta. Let's have a feast because my son who was lost is back again. My son who was dead is now alive again." And church, I just want us to underscore what the father said here in verse 22. Now here in verse 22, the father instructed his servants to place a ring on his hand. Now there's a very big significance of this, no? Now back in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, in their culture, slaves were not allowed to have jewelry. No, slaves were not allowed to have jewelry. Now remember, before he returned to his father, he was already like a slave, tending pigs, no, serving a master, who instructed him to feed the pigs. Now, when his father placed a ring on his finger, his father was actually telling him, "Son, you are my son and you're not a slave to anyone. You belong to me forever. Now, all is pardoned and you're not just being forgiven, but you now belong to me. You're no longer a slave to anyone." And what's true for this son is true for all of you.
Because the moment you return to God, you will also be set free from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36, "Whom the Son sets free will be free indeed." Now, friends, if you return to God, not only are you forgiven and pardoned from all your sin, but you'll also be free from the bondage and the curse of sin. Now, going back to my testimony, after I prayed that very short prayer in the taxi, no, surrendering everything to the Lord, not long after that, I had a heart-to-heart talk with my parents. And then I told them I want to be rehabilitated. So they gave me, if I may say, one last chance. And by God's grace, it was also that time that we found out about House of Hope. Now, House of Hope is a Christian drug rehabilitation center. So I was admitted in the House of Hope. We were one of the pioneering residents there in the House of Hope. Now, there in the House of Hope, I was taught the Word of God. And there I came to know how much Jesus loves me. Now, there I came to know that my life can be rebuilt back again in Jesus. And there I came to know that the Lord has so many plans for my life, etc., etc. I was filled with so much kanang joy ba. I was filled with kanang hope, no? Kanang if you put it this way, I began to smile again, no? Kanang nakyut na pukog balik as the Word of God has been fed to me day by day by day. I know that in Jesus there is hope. Now, one Thursday morning, because every morning we have devotional there, man. One Thursday morning, the preacher was sharing the Word of God. He was saying, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this world to pay for all your sins. Because no matter what you've done, mind you guys, I was with criminals there, no? I was with people with very shady past there, no? And he said, you know, Jesus came to die for you because you will never be able to pay for your sins. That's why Jesus paid for your sins at the cross. No, he said, gikulata si Jesus. Jesus was mocked, he was beaten, he was nailed to the cross because of his great love for you. You only need to surrender your life to Jesus so your sins can be paid in full. And during that time, you know, somehow the Word of God was just really ministering deep within my soul. And after his sharing, he then said, those of you who want to commit your life to Jesus and surrender your life to Jesus, just raise your hand so that I will be praying for you. Right then and there, I know that that was what I needed. I know that was what I needed. So I stood, I rose my hand during that time and I prayed to surrender my life to Christ. And friends, right then and there, I know I was delivered from the bondage of drugs. And right then and there, I know I belong to Jesus. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise for that. So that was some 20 years ago. I am fully delivered from the bondage of drugs. And I stand here in front of you now as a free man because of what Jesus has done for me. No, my relationship with my brother. Right now, we're ministry partners. No, I'm very close to my dad and mom again. But most of all, right now, I'm living a productive life. So opposite from what I was before. Why? Because in Jesus, there's deliverance. In Jesus, there's forgiveness. In Jesus, your life can be renewed. Now, friends, what's true for this prodigal son is true for all of you who are here this morning. No? In closing, I would just like to say this. It's not an accident that you are here this morning. The Lord wants you to hear this message because this message is dear to the Lord's heart. No? Maybe like me before, you've always known about Jesus, but you never had any relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning, you want to have that relationship with Jesus. Maybe this morning, just like that prodigal son, you had enough of your sinful life, and you just want to turn back to God. Now again, friends, this is not an accident this morning, that you are here, because the Lord wants you to hear this message. Now, can I just ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes? Everyone, no exception, everyone in this hall, bow your heads and please close your eyes. No one exempted, please. So friends, the same Jesus that died for you at the cross is the same Jesus who's here in our midst right now, ready to forgive you, ready to cleanse you from all your sin, ready to receive you for Himself. All you need to do is just render your life to Him. Again, maybe you've always known Jesus all your life, but there was never a point in your life where you have surrendered your life to Him. Friends, if you want to break free from sin, if you want to have that living relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, all you need to do is surrender your life to Jesus this morning. Now, if that is the desire of your heart, again, it's not an accident you're here because God wants you to hear this message. No, ayaw ikauwaho ang Ginoo nga nagbuhat nimo. Ayaw ikauwaho ang Ginoo nga nagpalansang nimo sa cross. So this morning, if that is the desire of your heart to surrender your life to Jesus, at the count of three, just raise up your right hand so that we will pray together, so that we will surrender our lives to the Lord together. If that is your desire, to invite Jesus, to receive Jesus as the King, as the Lord and Savior for life, at the count of three, raise up your hand, okay? Do not be ashamed. It's not an accident that you're here. If it's your desire to surrender your life to Jesus this morning, at the count of three, raise your right hand. One, two, three. Raise them a bit higher. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, you may put them down right now. You can put them down. Now, if it's your desire to surrender to Jesus this morning, follow this very simple prayer with me. And as you pray this prayer, mean it from the bottom of your heart. Don't just say it with your lips, but say it with your heart. Mean it with your heart. Just really call unto the Lord. No? Cry unto the Lord. Let's ask for forgiveness, and at the same time, let's ask Him to change and transform our life, okay? So follow these very simple prayers. And for those of you covenant members of Living Word IT Park, let us lead and guide those who will be praying this prayer, okay? So follow this very, very kanang important prayer right now and pray it loudly lang to lead those katong mo pray ba. So for all of you, those who raised your right hand, pray this very simple prayer but mean it with your heart, okay? Lord Jesus, I know that You are the Son of God. Lord Jesus, I admit all my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, thank You for paying for my sins at the cross. Lord Jesus, I come before You today asking for Your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for the sins that I have committed. Please wash me with Your precious blood. Lord Jesus, today I ask You to come into my life. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to You this morning. Lord Jesus, I receive You as the Lord, Savior, and God of my life. Lord, help me. Change me. I belong to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank You, Lord, for the power of Your word, O God. Indeed, Your word brings forth life, Lord. We bless Your holy name. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever has been done and accomplished this morning, we just want to give You back all the praise, the glory, and the worship in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.